it's not unkind to keep them in that tension of freedom and boundaries mm-hmm. while they are in our care, mm-hmm. they're in our home. But if you give your kids absolute freedom with an iPhone
yeah.
and no boundaries around that freedom, you are inviting chaos.
Yeah.
You are inviting all kinds of dysfunction
mm-hmm.
because kids are not prepared to handle that level of freedom.
Right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making Hestery. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. Katie, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a good day so far.
Yeah.
How about you?
Good.
Didn't sleep great.
No, I slept in today because I was up in the middle of the night for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Super weird.
Don't know why. I don't know what woke me up.
I feel like that's kind of an old person thing.
To be up from like 4 to 6 and then go back to sleep. And it was that point where I was like, it was getting close to about 6. And I was like, should I just get up?
Yeah.
And I was like, but I've been awake for like 2 hours.
Right.
So I don't want to have been up since 4.
Ugh.
So.
No, you definitely have to have a nap.
You were kind enough to get the kids up and bring them to school and let me sleep in.
Yeah. Just bring the whole gang.
Yep. I've got some new shoes. That's fun.
That is fun.
I've had these for a couple of weeks. This is the first time I've worn them. I've not worn them outside yet.
Been just sitting in the box, just nice and shiny, waiting for their time.
We've been having more rain lately.
That is true.
And so I'm not about to wear white shoes out in the rain
right.
for the first time.
Yeah, that would be a really big bummer to go out in the first time, mm-hmm. get them super dirty and wet
yeah.
and gross.
Yeah. And for most people, getting new shoes maybe isn't that big of a deal, but it happens for me once every like a couple years.
6 years.
So these white shoes are replacing a different pair of white shoes
yep.
that I got 4 years ago.
Yep.
And I just also, the day I got these, I bought a pair of brown shoes that replaced a different pair of brown shoes that I probably had for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. You had those for,
ones are really old.
It might even be longer than that.
Yeah. They're really old.
I don't remember when I
rarely buy shoes.
Yeah. You are a very like, buy it when you need it.
Buy when I need it and keep it for as right. long as I can.
Because you get good quality things that last a long time. Yeah. You're not like a trendy shopper.
Right.
You're like, I like this. This is going to be something that lasts me.
Very practical.
Probably for like, I don't know, 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm way more practical than like follow the trends or yeah. anything like that.
Yep. You're still stylish though.
Oh,
not
thanks.
To say you're not stylish.
Thanks.
Yeah, you look good.
The people of YouTube can let us know yep. if I'm stylish or not.
Rate on a scale of 1 to 10. I think Brian's looking.
People who watch us on YouTube are probably like, Brian doesn't have a lot of shirts.
Yep.
He keeps saying the same ones.
There's that shirt again. It's the every couple weeks yeah. cycle.
But I'm super minimalist with clothing.
Yeah.
We have a friend who, and I'm kind of jealous. We have a friend who wears black jeans and a black t-shirt every single day.
Yep.
And some of you listening who know us know exactly who we're talking about, but I'm jealous. He wears the same, it's the same thing every day.
Yep.
And it's super easy. It looks good. It's,
yeah.
he doesn't have to think about
it. It's a nice clean look.
Yep.
Yep. You never question it. Yeah. I yep. feel like there's been like a handful of times that I've seen him wear something different. And it's like, whoa, what's the occasion?
Yeah.
Like a white shirt?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not quite there minimally, but
yeah.
I'm pretty close,
mm-hmm.
closer than most people.
Right. And just to clarify, it's not like he wears the same exact shirt every day.
It's,
he does have multiples of the black shirts.
Yeah, it's just
and
a collection
pants,
so. Of black shirts and pants. Yes. So we had another funny incident with Izzy.
We did.
And I'll let you share what she said. But for anybody who wasn't here or wasn't listening a few episodes ago, we talked about how Isabel, who is our 4-year-old, has this
gift.
I don't know what we call it.
Maybe.
She has this thing that she does every once in a while where we'll be, for example, we may be working on school with Nora, maybe mm-hmm. working on like a math problem. And this happened a few weeks ago where I was helping Nora do 4 times 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were teaching her that that's the same thing as 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4.
Yeah.
And so she was adding them together and she got to 12. And I said, okay, well, what's 12 plus 4? And Izzy, who I didn't know was paying attention, just blurts out 16 right away. Didn't skip a beat.
We're like,
and she's done that kind of thing.
Yep. A couple times.
You're four. You don't know anything about math.
No.
You can, you know, you're
she
just
can count.
She can count. But yeah. Even then she skips, like you mentioned, she skips 16 usually when she counts. So it was funny that she blurted that number out.
Right.
But she did something similar. Go ahead.
So just to kind of like preface, our girls are very like weather conscious when they get dressed in the morning. So they're always like, what temperature is it? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be hot? And they have no idea. Like we're, you know, it's not winter anymore. Like it's going to be the same temperature pretty much every day. But anyways, so Izzy was upstairs getting dressed and she all of a sudden just yells down. I'm like in the kitchen and she's upstairs in her room. She's like, what temperature is it outside? And I was like, I don't really know. Like, let me look. She goes, is it 54 degrees? And I was like, that's so random. And then so I was like opening my phone and I looked. Sure enough, it was 54 degrees. And exactly. I was like, yes, Izzy, it's 54 degrees. It's just those moments. I'm like, what? Like of all the numbers that she could throw out, it just seems a little bit too coincidental for her to be saying the exact degree and then the exact answer multiple times. So I don't know. I feel like she's got some kind of words of knowledge.
Something is going on.
Something going on. Yeah.
But I love it.
It's amazing. And it's just so, it's so entertaining because she gets so proud when she does it too. Like, I didn't see her face whenever she said that yesterday, obviously, because we were in different parts of the house. But whenever she gets the right, like, math answer, she's always like, just gets this goofy little grin on her face.
Yeah.
So cute.
So that's super funny. I also realized last week on our episode, we were talking about how hot it was getting.
Yeah.
And then we've been having cold weather.
Cold. Like literally it was
getting
like,
down to the 30s again at night.
Yes. Like 2 days after we were like, we recorded, it was like freeze warning. I was like, no.
Yeah. So you're like bringing your little seedlings in the garage,
so
covering up
zapped.
Everything that's planted outside.
Yep. Cause I was like, oh, surely we're past, it's mid-April. Surely we're past the freezes.
Freezing. Yeah.
Like, nope.
Yeah.
One more for good measure. Thank you, Georgia.
It's crazy.
Ridiculous.
It is.
Oh.
So I think on this episode, I want to talk a little bit more about what we've been talking about before moving on.
Sure.
Because we have one more episode coming of Love Is.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, and this happens most weeks where we'll record an episode and then between writing the episode description, sending our weekly email out to our email subscribers and like creating social media posts, I always end up with things that I think, man, I wish I would have said this on the podcast. Or I end up like writing things because for the podcast, we don't like, we're not scripted.
No.
We have talking points. We know what we want to talk about, but we like it to be kind of a free flowing conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I sit down and start like actually putting words down and like crafting statements and sentences, I think, oh man, I wish I would have written this before we recorded.
Right. This would have been good to say, or, we should have brought this up. Yeah.
Sometimes that happens, or sometimes just throughout the day or throughout the week, one of us will think of something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that would have been good to talk about.
Like, dang, so, missed it.
We've had a couple of those, so we're not going to move on quite yet. We're going to rehash a little bit of what we've talked about over the last two episodes.
Yep.
One of the things I thought about, and I'm sure we've probably communicated this at some point, maybe not though, and I was thinking about passive parents. And one of the things that passive parents, I think, have in common with like the authoritarian parents, so maybe we're even going back more than just 2 weeks, but we've talked about that contrast of the two ends of the parenting spectrum, the extremes being very authoritarian or very permissive or very passive. I think that, or I've come to realize that, I think there's something that both sides have in common in that the authoritarian, angry parent and the passive, permissive parent, neither seem to have much vision, like long-term vision for what their parenting methods are going to produce in their kids.
Sure.
both seem to be very short-term focused, very like focused on the now, like what's happening right now in the moment.
Yeah.
And going way back to an earlier episode, I remember one time we talked about, I think the episode was called, Are You As Mature As You Want Your Kids To Be?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the like hallmark traits of immaturity are not having long-term vision, mm-hmm. not being able to really see beyond the present.
Yeah.
Being very like focused and driven by just your current desire, mm-hmm. not really knowing what the outcome of this desire, should you act on it, how will that affect you?
Mm-hmm.
What I do today, how will that affect me tomorrow? How will that affect me in 5 years, 10 years?
Right.
And the really angry authoritarian parents, they view behavior as like the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like behavioral. If I don't like what my kids are doing, I'm going to do whatever I can right now in the moment to stop that.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not their methods and their approach are going to produce any kind of like long-term lasting growth or change in their kids.
Yeah. I just want you to act the way that I want you to act right now.
Yeah.
Because it's inconvenient to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think, and this is what I was thinking about this past week, with permissive parents and passive parents, it's a similar thing. But I think often the mindset is, it's not, maybe not as much how their methods are going to impact their kids over the long term. Rather, with passive and permissive parents, there's often an assumption that the behavior that I don't address in my kids today will eventually work itself out over time.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that is not the case.
No.
So I think, for somebody who is more on the permissive side of things, I think something to start thinking about is, whatever my kid's undesirable behavior is that's happening today. Again, mm-hmm. not that behavior is the bottom line, but the reality is that our kid's behavior does need to be corrected. It needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And we believe that we need to address more than just the behavior. We need to address the heart, the mind,
right,
the things that are producing the behavior.
Exactly.
So for the very passive parent, the question they need to ask is, what form will my kid's uncorrected behavior take in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years?
Yeah.
Because I don't think that behavioral patterns and trends necessarily go away. I think they just evolve when they go uncorrected, unchallenged.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's not a way, like there might be some little things that are just like habitual behaviors that they do that kind of fall away.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, I think you're exactly right. I think that they just grow and evolve with the kid and they change into, you know, from just throwing a tantrum to get what they want into like storming out of the house and angry driving away because they didn't get what they want. So the behavior is still the same, but a lot of times it honestly just gets worse and more dangerous for them and for the people around them.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have found that falling in between those two extremes of parenting requires developing a long-term vision for who you want your kids to become and how our methods and our approaches to raising them, how is that going to shape them over the long term? Because we're raising future adults.
Right.
We're raising kids who eventually, like if we do our job well, they will move out of our house one day.
Yeah.
They'll have jobs and they'll have families.
Yeah.
And if that's not the case, then I don't think we, you know, would have done everything that we need to for them.
Yeah, we didn't set them up for success in the way that they should have. They are, you know, worthy of.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, which it sounds so silly to say it when you say it out loud, but I think that so often parents like don't view their kids as future adults, like you said. I think so often it's just you're stuck in this time with your kids and you're just trying to control them and make it work and just bear, you know, just, you know, like grind it out.
Yeah.
And it's so much more than just where you're at right now. Like, yes, of course, sometimes seasons are harder than others with kids, you know, especially if you have multiple toddlers or, you know, just a lot of kids, it's tough to be intentional, but do you want the long-term hard mm-hmm. or the short-term hard? Yeah. You have to just go back to exactly. that question. Like, are you willing to put in the work and be intentional right now, looking forward, having that vision for the future? And that way that hard kind of falls away as your kids get older and mm-hmm. learn your values, learn why you do what you do. Or do you want that, you know, seemingly infinite hard
yeah.
where it's just, you don't have a good connection with your kids. You didn't set those long-term goals. And so you're just kind of dealing with whatever's thrown at you that day. And mm-hmm. yeah, lack of intentionality really sets you up for a bit of a roller coaster of a life.
Yeah. Here's the other thing I've been thinking about, and we'll probably talk a little bit longer on this. I realized last week, and it wasn't long after we finished recording our episode.
Yeah.
It kind of struck me. Like, how could we not have talked about this? So last week we talked about how love is kind, but it's not nice.
Mm-hmm.
And nice may look like kindness on the outside, but typically being nice is more selfishly motivated, mm-hmm. whereas kindness is motivated in loving others.
Yeah.
And sometimes parents choose niceness over kindness for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think we need to talk about that is super important, and this is becoming, and we've got some statistics that we're going to talk about to show how prevalent this is,
mm-hmm.
but parents think they're being kind to their kids by getting them smartphones, iPhones, mm-hmm. letting them use social media.
Yeah.
And I get that it's very like culturally relevant.
Yeah.
To let your kids have an iPhone.
Sure.
It's very like against the grain and anti-culture
yeah.
to not let your kids have one.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, so I get that if you're a teenager, if you're 14, 15, you don't have an iPhone, that you'll probably feel like a bit of an outcast.
Absolutely.
Your friends will probably make fun of you
mm-hmm.
because you very well may be the only one in your group of friends that yeah. doesn't have one. But it is extremely unkind of parents to give their youth and their teenagers an iPhone with unlimited access to social yes. media, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok.
Right. Yeah.
It is extremely unkind
mm-hmm.
of parents to do that. It's
yeah.
nice, but it is not kind.
Not kind. If you really think about it, how beneficial is it even for us as fully mature adults
right.
to have an iPhone and to be able to scroll and see anything
mm-hmm.
really that we want?
Yeah.
We have access to all the things. And I think it's important to note, like, just to say again what you said, like giving them full access
yeah.
is really like the kicker there, because I totally get it. Like, if your teenager's out and about a lot and you need a way to contact them, of course, mm-hmm. having a phone makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's the access to all the apps, mm-hmm. all that the internet has to offer.
Yeah.
Good and bad and ugly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's when it becomes really, really tricky. And like I was saying just a second ago, like, it's hard enough for us as adults to see all the things that are on there, to compare ourselves to what's going on, mm-hmm. to see all the like negativity and all this, the confusion that the world brings. It's hard enough for us to handle it. And so a kid who's still in their like critical stages of development,
yeah,
how much worse is it on their brains and their, you know, way of thinking about themselves, about the world around them?
Yeah.
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 Scary to think about.
It is. So here is a quote from, and this is, I don't know how old this quote is, probably it's several years at least at this point, but this is from Sean Parker, and he was the first president of Facebook.
Okay.
So Sean Parker, la la la.
Sean Parker.
So Sean Parker has this quote. He says, "God only knows what social media is doing to our children's brains. The thought process that went into building these applications, Facebook being the first of them, was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible. And that means that we need to sort of give a little dopamine hit every once in a while because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post or whatever. And that's going to get you to contribute more content, and that's going to get you more likes and comments. It's a social validation feedback loop. exactly the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology.
Oof.
So, you know, I've made this joke before in like teaching on these topics that I don't think guys like Mark Zuckerberg and like Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, mm-hmm. and these like tech executives, I don't think that they are like confused and bewildered by how addictive how wildly addictive and how much time is being consumed mm-hmm. on these devices, on these apps.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that there are stories of tech executives from like Silicon Valley who are paying lots of money to send their kids to device-free private schools.
Right.
Because they know that what they're creating, mm-hmm. they know how bad it is for kids.
Yeah.
So they create it, but they don't let their own kids have it.
Right. Which, if that doesn't tell you something,
yeah,
I don't know what will get the message across that like the creators, you would think
yeah.
that if it was something, you know, mm-hmm. super beneficial and really good for their kids, of course they would let them have it because they would be the first ones to have it since they created it.
Yeah.
But they know better.
Yeah. So these people who are over social media apps and mm-hmm. technological developments and
we're super techie people.
A much worse way of saying tech executive or something. But they know exactly what they're creating. They know how addictive it is, and they know the kind of effect it's having on culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a surprise to anybody who's creating it because they're actually creating it with the purpose of doing the very thing that it's doing. Mm-hmm. They want it to be addictive.
Yeah.
They want to give you these dopamine hits because mm-hmm. they know that it'll keep you coming back.
Yeah.
And here are some stats. I found some of these very interesting. Some statistics just around like smartphones, social media usage. And I researched this specifically because I know it's bad for adults too,
mm-hmm.
but because we're talking about the unkindness of parents giving their kids unlimited access to smartphones and social media, I geared this toward kids. So according to a 2023 report by Common Sense Media, and this is in the US, 43% of kids ages 8 to 12 own a smartphone. And then that jumps to 91% by age 14. So that's by age
crazy.
14. And the thing about 14-year-olds is, well, like you were saying before, to have an iPhone with all that you can do with it
mm-hmm.
and to use it for good takes an above average amount of discipline, to say the very least.
You
have to be extremely disciplined to have one of these
mm-hmm.
and to use it only for good.
Right.
To not get addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like adults have a hard enough time with that, let alone a 14-year-old.
Right.
But in the UK, so we do have a fair amount of listeners in the UK, so I'm talking to you guys right now. In the UK, 91% of children own a smartphone by age 11.
11?
Now, to give the benefit of the doubt, it's possible that there are still plenty of parents out there who let their kids have an iPhone, but hold them accountable.
Sure.
And are involved in their usage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is not unkind if, like, let's say Nora is whatever age she's going to get a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And right now it's not looking like it's anytime soon.
No. Yeah. Like when you drive.
When you can drive, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe then, because she'll need some kind of device, but it doesn't have to be a smartphone.
And thankfully now lots of companies are creating other kinds of phones
that are
way more kid-friendly.
Yes.
Which I love.
Yeah.
And so that will, of course, be the route we take
mm-hmm.
for a while. But, you know, these stats, they may not reflect the amount of parents who let their kids have an iPhone, but, like I said, hold them accountable mm-hmm. and are very involved in how they're using it, what they're doing. It's not unkind to do that. It's not unkind to let your kid know, hey, we're going to get you a phone. But, and this is how I think I would put it if I were in the position of getting one of our kids an mm-hmm. iPhone while they're still like living in the house, one of our dependents, I would say, mom and I are buying another phone
mm-hmm.
and we're going to let you use it.
Yeah.
But that is contingent upon X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And we would lay out the expectations and the standards and the rules for having it. So I wouldn't say, and I think this would probably be our approach, like when Nora turns 16, mm-hmm. if at that point we're able to get another car for her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, hey, we're going to buy you a car. I would say, mom and I are going to buy a third car and we're going to let you use it
yeah.
again, contingent upon like you prove to be a good driver, a mm-hmm. safe driver. You prove that you are not, you know, you're not being stupid behind yeah. the wheel, that you're, you know, whatever the rules and standards
right.
are.
Right. Which decide. Makes so much sense because, I mean, we already tell our kids, you know, like, well, everything that you have is actually mine.
You like, know that TV you love letting, to watch?
Yeah. yeah. That's my TV.
It's not. It's
you know the iPad that you like to yeah. play on sometimes? My iPad.
yeah.
Right. And so they're very clear that like they are under our provision, you mm-hmm. know, right now that
yeah.
really like there are a couple things now that Nora has actually purchased with her own money. So mm-hmm. those are genuinely hers, but that's like doll clothes. So,
yeah,
you know, you can't really do a lot of harm with doll clothes, but
right.
yeah. So it makes sense. That a car, mm-hmm. while she's living under our roof, not an adult yet,
mm-hmm.
would still be ours. And sure, you can borrow it
mm-hmm.
as long as all these things
right.
are followed. You're being wise. You're being smart in your choices. You're yeah. not on your phone if you have a phone while you're driving. Mm-hmm. You're not doing, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here are a few more stats. Kids ages 8 to 12 spend an average of 5.5 hours per day on screens for entertainment. And teens between the ages of 13 and 18 are over 8.5 hours per day. And it says in this study, it says that doesn't include like productive, like schoolwork things. Like it's purely entertainment, 8.5 hours a day.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
That's like that's, most of I mean, the day.
That's a full-time job.
Goodness.
Here's a 2023 survey about youth risk behavior, and it shows that 57% of teen girls and 29% of teen boys report feeling persistently sad or hopeless, which is significantly higher than previous decades, and mental health professionals are linking that in part to the rise of social media.
Yeah.
So, and which totally makes sense.
Right.
Feelings of sadness and hopelessness.
Yeah.
Because... And I think adults fall into this trap too, that when you get on Instagram, you can, because people are posting the highlights of their life.
Yes. Yeah. It's highlight right? reels.
And if everywhere. People are posting the lowlights, it's purely comedic. Mm-hmm. It's, you know.
Yep. And it's still glamorized. It's still to glamorized. An extent. Yeah. Yeah.
So, so like, I'm not surprised that teens are getting on social media thinking that everybody's life must be better than mine.
Yeah.
Because look how happy this person is. Mm-hmm. Look at where they're getting to go. And this right. is what their life is like all the time.
They just got, yeah.
And that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People post the events of their life that are few and far in between.
Yes.
And they post the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to fall into that trap of comparison and assuming that everybody's life that you're seeing on social media is better than yours,
mm-hmm.
which would lead to feelings of sadness and hopelessness.
Absolutely.
Here's another one. Suicide rates among teens have increased by 56% from 2007 to 2019, which parallels the rise of smartphones and social media use. Oof. So an increase of 56%
Yikes.
In suicide rates among teens. Here's another one. There was a study published in 2022 that found that greater use of social media was linked to worse body image and a higher likelihood of eating disorders, particularly among teen girls.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think any of this is surprising.
Right.
I'd be shocked if anybody even listening to this podcast is like, what?
Yeah, no way.
You mean social media isn't all good?
Right. No, I would be
anybody's thinking that.
More likely to assume that everybody's like, yeah, you know, I remember feeling that way or I felt that way yesterday. Because mm-hmm. even like still, you know, I can relate to an extent that like I get on there every now and then and I'll just be scrolling, even if it's like Pinterest, which like should be way better, you know, mm-hmm. than Facebook and Instagram. But even then, it's like, oh, look how beautiful they decorate their home.
Yes.
Oh, man, like, I wish that I had all these things. Yes. And it's like, wait, hit the bricks.
Yep.
Like, nope, I'm thankful for everything that I have. And I have to like remind myself, no, like look and appreciate and be grateful for what you have been given in this moment. because it is more than enough. You know, the Lord is so good. Like, so I still have to like remind myself to not go down that rabbit hole because it's so easy because you just keep scrolling and see all those highlights. And if you're, especially if you're having a bad day already, when you get on there, does not help.
Yep. All of a sudden you're thinking, man, my kitchen will never look like that.
Yep. Or maybe I'd be happier if I had butcher bought countertops. It's a very specific example for a reason, everybody, because I really want butcher bought countertops.
And that's true. Like, we would love to totally redo our kitchen.
Yeah.
But we don't have like 15, 20 grand that we can just throw at that right now.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's learning that it's okay to dream.
Yeah.
Still. Like, I'm not saying that the fact that I want butcher-bought countertops is a negative thing.
Right.
I think it's totally fine.
Yeah.
But if I allow that to consume my joy and eliminate my joy, that's when it becomes a problem. When we see something that we don't have, that we feel like that's going to fill this hole that I'm feeling inside, that's when it becomes detrimental to my health. That's when it becomes really bad for my brain, my heart, my mind, my peace. That's when I'm allowing something to come in, an outside external source to come in and steal what is rightfully mine, which is my joy given to me by the Lord, my peace given to me by the Lord. And so that's something that, like, we just can't, we can't give social media the foothold. And we really can't allow that in for our kids.
Yeah.
Bringing it back around to our kids. Like, if we are so affected by that still, how much more is a vulnerable teenager going to be affected by it? It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. When you were talking, it reminded me of a verse. I had to look up the reference. But in 1 Timothy 6:8, Paul says, "But if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content." And also, like,
bare minimum.
In Philippians, when he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." People love to pull that verse out of context. What he's actually talking about, if you read up until that verse, he's talking about how he has learned to be content in all times, in all seasons, whether in abundance or in lack, whether in health or sickness. And he just kind of goes and he lists all the, like, contrasting seasons of life that he's experienced.
Yeah.
And he says, "But I've learned to be content in all seasons, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So, like, you and I don't, we want to live a life in which we are able to find joy and peace in the Lord, in what he has provided for us today, like what we have right now. And like you said, I don't think it's bad to dream. No. We have goals and we have desires and we, you know, we'd like, you know, I sometimes I drive and I see, like, a car and I think, oh man, I would love to have that car one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you were saying, I think that, I think there's something to learning to just be content with what you have while simultaneously knowing it's okay to dream. It's okay to want things.
Yeah.
But to live in such a way that we are not being robbed of our joy and peace because of the material things that we see on social media that we don't have.
Yeah.
Here are, I think I've got one more stat. Yeah, this is a 2021 study. That, and again, this is no surprise, but just another study that shows that there is significant increase in ADHD-like symptoms in adolescents as a result of the rise of, like, smartphone and social media usage.
Yeah.
And there's another study that shows that the average attention span today, and I forget if it's just for adults or people. I'm inclined to say it may have been for adults today. The average attention span is 8 seconds. Which is
so embarrassing.
Crazy. And that is definitely linked to social media usage.
For sure. Yeah. Cause you, like, you find something that captures your attention. And then as soon as it gets boring, you can swipe away. And then it does it all over. It's like, oh, is this interesting? No. Is this interesting? No. And so I think we probably subconsciously do that. It even can be applied to, like, prayer, and it's leaked into prayer life. And I've heard lots of people say this, and I've experience this where, like, I'll be praying and I'm like, I sit down and I'm like, I'm going to be super intentional to pray for like 10 minutes right now.
Yeah.
And then, like, a minute in, I'm thinking about, like, all the things that I'm going to be doing that day. And I'm like, whoa, How did I even get there?
You don't even know how you got there.
Right. It's just totally subconscious. Mm-hmm. You instantly start thinking about something else without even trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think what we're saying is really surprising to anybody.
Right.
But I think it needs to keep being talked about because, and this is the weird thing that we do as a society today, where we'll hear something horrible mm-hmm. and they'll be like, oh, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And then
we do nothing about it. Changes. Oh no. We should all do something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's my phone?
But 91% of 14-year-olds in the US have a smartphone.
Yeah.
91% of 11-year-olds in the UK have a smartphone. And I don't think this should be one of those things that we're like, oh, how crazy is that?
Right.
And then nothing changes mm-hmm. because it is having a very significant effect on yeah. our kids, on their mental health, their emotional health, you know. And you can see that there are like the trends of like hanging out online is beginning to affect other areas of life.
Yeah.
So when you and I were 16, mm-hmm. we and all of our friends, we got our driver's license right yep. at 16.
Right away.
I don't think I had any friends that waited like any longer than they needed to mm-mm. to get their driver's license.
Yeah, me either.
But today, they don't care.
It's bizarre to me. That is one of the weirdest things. Whenever I found out that there was one kid who we knew who like didn't mm-hmm. get it. And I was like, oh. It's kind of odd.
Yeah.
But then I kept hearing of more and more. And I was yes. like, what are you doing on my birthday?
Do you not?
I was yeah. at the DMV getting my driver's license because I was like, I'm out of here. Not yeah. because I had a terrible home life, but because I wanted to be able to drive and yeah. see my friends. And it's just, oh, it's crazy to me.
Yeah. More and more kids, they don't care about that because they're not hanging out in person. They're yeah. hanging out online.
Right.
They play video games online. They hang out on social media.
Yeah.
And that's how they interact with friends and that's how they interact with the world.
Yep.
So.
And you can see that when you interact in person.
Yeah.
With a lot of teens that it's like, you don't get out much.
You don't talk to a lot of people.
You've been sitting on your microphone all day.
Right. Yeah. And that, you know, I have a lot of like theories about how we'll do things in yeah. time. Because mm-hmm. I'd like to think that when our kids are nearing 16, will say something like, all right, you don't have to get your driver's license, but if you could and you choose not to, I'm probably not going to drive you around.
Yeah.
Like I think you put it this way before, but we want to set our kids up for success. Mm-hmm. We want, like, as they grow up, we want further more and more to like push them.
Yes.
To like, you need to grow up.
Right.
You need to have some responsibility.
Yes.
You need to get into the world. Mm-hmm. You need to get a job.
Yeah. Right.
But kids, yeah, kids these days, because of iPhones and because mm-hmm. of social media, because of hanging out online, mm-hmm. they just don't care anymore.
Yeah. Like, why would I go somewhere when I can sit on my bed in my sweats mm-hmm. and talk to my friends here? Like, what's yeah. the point? Yep. And that is not genuine connection.
No.
At all. Like, sure, you can be friends, you can be friendly, but like, are you the same way over a phone as you are in person? Probably not.
No. I've heard Jordan Peterson talk about that a lot. He has a lot to say about how interesting it is that any like inhibition that somebody might have to be like mean or angry or offensive
yeah.
face-to-face, mm-hmm. any of that inhibition disappears completely yeah. when you're online.
Right.
And there's no filter. Mm-hmm. People say things that they wouldn't normally say
yeah.
in person.
It's very true.
But because you're just on your little device mm-hmm. talking to some other person who maybe you don't even really fully recognize as another human being.
Right.
That you're communicating with.
Yeah.
And so people, like all of that goes out the window.
Yeah. Yikes.
So yeah, I don't think it's kind to give kids unlimited access.
No.
And again, maybe somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, well, your oldest kid is 7. What do you know?
Sure.
Okay, maybe you're right. But do some research. Mm-hmm. Go look at the statistics.
Yeah. You tell me.
You tell me.
Which statistics show that this is actually beneficial for anybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's unkind. And I think if anybody's listening who have kids, who have teenagers, who have phones, who have devices, it is not unkind to hold them accountable.
No.
And it is not unkind to let them know, I'm going to be monitoring your usage.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, and we've talked about this, that we need our kids to live in the balance while they are in our care. Mm-hmm. They're in our home. So until they're 18, really, it's not unkind to keep them in that tension of freedom and boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give your kids absolute freedom with an iPhone,
yeah,
and no boundaries around that freedom, you are inviting chaos.
Yeah.
You are inviting all kinds of dysfunction,
mm-hmm,
because kids are not prepared to handle that level of freedom.
Right.
They're just not.
Yeah.
They need boundaries. Mm-hmm. They need their parents to say, here's what's acceptable. I'm going to monitor this. Here's what you're allowed to do. Here's how you're allowed to use this.
Yeah.
And I think that this is true for like every area of parenting, not just with iPhones, but like, we've talked about this, how like we give our kids options, mm-hmm, and we let them know like, hey, here's what you can do, but here's the boundaries around that.
Yeah.
And we also let them know like, but here's what will happen if you don't honor that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're free to cross and push that boundary, but I'm just gonna let you know what I'm gonna do if you do that.
Yeah.
So if you've got a kid who has an iPhone or whatever, let them know the standards and the expectations for what it looks like to use that,
mm-hmm,
social media usage,
yeah,
who they're allowed to talk to, and let them know, hey, but if you can't honor that, then I don't think you need to have access,
mm-hmm,
to a phone right now.
Yeah.
But don't you dare say that and not follow through. Don't you dare.
Because they will learn that so fast and be like, oh, I can do whatever I want because it's all empty threats.
Yes. Yep. That's just called having integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Letting your kids know that what you'll do and then following through on that.
Yeah.
Is teaching your kids that they can trust you.
Yes.
That they can believe you.
Yeah.
It's good for them to experience a parent who is willing to follow through on action and consequences.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yep.
That's it. Be careful out there.
Yep. Super happy, peppy episode. But necessary. Yeah.
It's like when we think about these things. We do. But another thing we always laugh about is how like we'll be talking about something and then we'll get an ad for that thing on our phone.
Yeah.
And we're always like, oh, how crazy is that? Yeah, They're listening to our conversations. And we laugh it off. And nothing changes.
Oh, it's so weird.
I don't want that to be the case.
No.
I think that kids need parents who are kind enough to say, no,
mm-hmm,
I'm not going to get you an iPhone. I'm going to get you a flip phone that doesn't have any apps.
Right.
No internet access.
Yep.
And I'm going to limit the contacts in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use it to call us in an emergency, maybe a friend or two that you feel are safe.
Yeah.
So they can call or text.
Mm-hmm.
But kids don't need unlimited access to that. They don't need freedom without boundaries. They need freedom and boundaries together.
Yes. Yeah. Because they're not going to establish their own boundaries.
No.
Especially with this type of thing. Like if they're just left to their own devices, figuratively, that's funny. They are just going to go wild with it. And not because they're bad kids, because it's just there. It's available. Yeah. And the amount of times that they're able to just stumble across something is, you know, countless.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, being faithful with little proves that you can be faithful with much.
Yeah.
I think that if we were millionaires and could buy our kids any car we wanted when they turned 16,
mm-hmm,
I would still get them an old car.
Yep.
Because I would want to say, prove to me that you can take care of something like this.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about getting you something nicer.
Absolutely. Yep.
But yeah, I know we could talk about this all day probably.
Probably so.
Okay. I think let's wrap it up there.
All right.
We have a couple of favors to ask for everybody listening right now. If you're listening on any podcast platform like Apple or Spotify, if you could do us a huge favor and leave us a good review if you found any value in our content, that's a very small thing you can do that helps us in a big way. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you could like this video and subscribe, that is, again, a very small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. But I think that's going to be it.
Sounds good.
All right. Once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.